Good morning to all of you. Our landing zone this morning is Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, there are Bibles in the seats in front of you, perhaps, under the rack there. We'll actually back up a couple verses into chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, and then on through chapter 11, the first six verses. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It will be a little different from yours, perhaps, but hopefully understandable. As I read, Hebrews 10:38, it begins, "And my righteous ones will live by faith." Righteous ones are Christians, believers, saved people, however you want to describe them. They will live by faith. "But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." This is God's word to us. Let's bow in prayer. Our God in heaven, we're bowing before you, somewhat physically, mostly in our minds and hearts and spirits. We know that's our place. We know that's where we ought to be, before you. We never ask you to bow to us. You should not. You could not. So we bow to you as we should, and we come to you looking for blessing. Never do we want your curses, only your blessings. So now, in this time that we have together, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will select blessings for each one here, old and young, man, woman, boy, girl, whatever kinds of blessings we need. Please give those. They may be physical, but certainly spiritual blessings are needed by all of us, some for salvation, some for growth in that salvation. Our God, we ask that in this time that we spend in your word, we'll find it fruitful, we'll find it helpful in order to live for you. Draw near, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We said last week that we want to think about tables that are waist high with finger foods. That's what we're offering up, finger foods in the subject of creation. We're not laying out before you the great long banquet tables with beautiful linen tablecloths and several forks and spoons and knives and gold-edged plates. Just finger food. If you can pick up one or two things from these messages, then we'll be satisfied. For those who are not skilled at diving into the swimming pool, I recommend the cannonball approach. You see, the cannonball gets you into the same water, and it gets you just as wet as the one who gracefully swan dives or skillfully does a double backflip off the high board. You all end up in the water, wet. So without further ado, let's cannonball into our sermon today. Sometimes you need to just jump right in. Our series is titled, God is Our Creator. Don't ever forget that. Lesson one was the Bible teaches creation. Don't ever forget that. Genesis to Revelation, everything in between, teaches that God is our Creator. Now, with a big splash, lesson two explains that faith is a must when considering creation. Hear me, faith is a must. My father-in-law, an ex-Navy man, had his own small sailboat. He named it Cadobe, first two letters of the three daughters' names, Catherine, Donna, Beverly. Cadobe, the sailboat. A most important part of that sailboat was the centerboard. You might want to call it the keel. When we got into the boat, Dad would always tell, now put down the centerboard. Goes right down in the middle, in the bottom of the boat, into the water. This board in the center underneath the boat has to keep everything on an even keel. Have you heard that expression? Keep it all on an even keel. That's the centerboard. The centerboard was there to hold the boat upright and stable through the wind and the waves. Otherwise, you know what that sailboat would be like? A canoe. Canoes don't have centerboards. They don't have keels. And they wiggle and they wobble and they're somewhat difficult to get into and out of at times. Faith is a must, because it's our centerboard. When you consider creation, to keep the understanding stable, even-keeled, strong against winds and waves of doubt and objections, faith is the answer. It's the centerboard. So if faith is a must, and I believe it is, how so? How is faith a must? Let's all dip our thinking ladle into the living water of truth as it's written here in the book of Hebrews, especially verses 1 to 6. We're going to lift out, dip out three main cups to drink, finger foods, if you will, considering the fact of faith. Now, I want you to see that this matter of faith is going to solve a lot of problems. I don't have all the answers when we discuss creation and evolution, but I've got a big answer right here that we need to remember that makes all the difference in the world. Even though we cannot answer all of the objections and things that are raised, we'll find out that faith is our centerboard. So point A, faith is a must to even consider creation. Don't start considering creation and think we'll get somewhere. Hebrews chapter 11 oozes faith. Don't you love that word, oozes? Things ooze. Chapter 11, faith just seeps out. It just leaks out everywhere here in Hebrews 11. And for purposes of our study, we see in verse 3 that faith introduces a consideration of creation, doesn't it? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. There it is. The two are linked inseparably. Faith and creation. It's like lemons and lemonade. The author of Hebrews makes faith the on-ramp to travel the highway of creation contemplation. You want to discuss, think about, talk about creation? Here's how you get on that highway. By faith. Let's change the picture. Faith is the window to see into. It's the door to enter serious investigation about creation. That's what he says. Now, what does this tell you immediately? We haven't gotten far in the sermon of our 40-page sermon today. But right away, when we say faith introduces this, what does that tell us? Do you see it? The word faith is what? It is a spiritual concept. Chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, we already read. We talk about the just living by faith. The end of verse 39, those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. So when we're in chapter 11 and we talk about faith, this is a spiritual subject. And doesn't the writer push us right into the deep end in verse number 6? There he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder. You can't get into this whole discussion without a spiritual sense. The writer says it's impossible to untangle faith or the lack of it from a relationship with God. Now, there are other kinds of faith that people talk about, or they just say, I have faith. We're talking about Bible faith, salvation faith, scriptural faith, faith in relation to God. And all of the illustrations that now are going to be used in chapter 11, and there are a lot of them, have to do with servants of God reacting to the words of God. You see, that's what it's all about, this faith. And that's why the writer says, so don't attempt, stop, don't go on, don't attempt to consider the marvelous expanse of creation without a meaningful measure of faith in the God of the Bible, the God of Scripture. God is our Creator. The whole Bible tells us that. And here it says, you want to talk about creation, it must be done with reference to faith. And isn't that the exact sticking point with so many people today? That's the problem, isn't it? Numbers of people want to separate faith and science. They want to separate faith and history. They want to separate faith and origins, faith and life. The writer of Hebrews says, you can't. You can't. You see, to such people, faith in creation is like slipping poison into the drinking water. I don't want to talk about your Bible stuff. Let's talk science. And the Bible says, don't talk science without talking faith. Some say the spiritual must be left out. God is irrelevant. But the writer says, no, he isn't. Not so. In fact, you know what he does after he goes through this whole long chapter of faith? Get over there to chapter 12. He kind of gives a little bit of a wrap-up, and he brings in Jesus. I love it. Look at chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that is, people of faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. What about Jesus? The author or the originator and the finisher or the one who completes our faith. And then it goes on to talk about his cross. What are we talking about here? You want to talk about creation, then you need to talk about faith. And that means you need to talk about Jesus. You can't have a sensible, right, accurate consideration of creation and origins without thinking about Jesus. I don't want to do that, some say. Well, sorry. We love the Bible and believe the Bible, and we want to do that. That's how we must do it. Jesus, who initiates and completes faith based on what he did on the cross, is integral, part of this whole discussion of creation. Is it no wonder that interactions about creation erupt into conflicts? Boy, you can get into some heated discussions about the whole subject of creation. Mom, Dad, kids come home with any comments about that? What's your answer? How do you respond? Two worlds clash right here. The natural and the spiritual collide at this point. Can't help it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man, the unsaved person, doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. What is this? It's something from the Spirit of God. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have the Spirit of God, tune right in. This is FM, their FM. This is FM, those outside of Christ are AM. They're just not tuning in. So, the natural wants to remove God, the spiritual embraces God. So our first point is that faith is a must to even consider creation. You want to talk about creation? Okay, great. Let's talk about creation. Let's talk about faith too. Well, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about creation. You can't rightly talk about creation without talking about faith, at least according to the Bible. Now you can say, I don't believe the Bible. Okay, then you can go another direction. That means examine ourselves in the matter of faith in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings us right down to our own laps. Okay, where am I in terms of this matter of saving faith? Can I ever come to a right conclusion about creation if I'm not a person of faith biblically? Point B, faith is a must to really understand creation. First of all, it's a must to even consider it. Now, if you get by that point, it's a must to really understand creation. Can it be any clearer? I don't know what your translation might say any different to change my point of view. Can it be any clearer than the first phrase in verse 3? By faith we understand. By faith we understand. Faith in God through Jesus Christ is the means. It's the tool. It's the instrument. Faith equips. Faith gets results. It provides entrance into really understanding creation. Again, parents with your children, they begin to ask questions about science class or whatever. You need to go right back to the whole subject of faith and talk with them about their faith and your faith and the importance of faith to get anywhere, whether it's brought up in class or not. This divine gift of faith turns the lights on inside. It sorts and fits together the puzzle pieces of creation. It's vital. Faith is not counter to, as some think, but key to the clearest comprehension of and appreciation for creation. It's key. According to this, by faith we understand. By faith we get it. You see how the writer supports this with his comments about faith in verse number 1? Now, your translation may have different words. I found different translations and a half dozen or more words. Let me just read off some of them. Words like substance, evidence, reality, assurance, conviction, proof, and similar words appear. In other words, this spiritual faith is not rickety. You know what rickety means? Do you have a rickety stepladder? You ever go up that rickety stepladder? You immediately say, "Would you hold the ladder, please?" You see, it's not a wobbly stepladder. It's not like shaky, tipsy scaffolding. True faith does not blur. The ungodly think that's what it does. It blurs the picture. Rather, it does the opposite. It does not darken. It enlightens. It doesn't obscure. Faith doesn't obscure the whole discussion. It explains it. It reveals. Now, isn't this an encouragement to believe God and stand firm holding on to creation? By faith, we understand. You mean there's no other way to understand? You see, a lot of even believers try to come up with all of these persuasive arguments to convince those who are ungodly or unbelievers, and they don't hold to creation, and we kind of try to come at them in 1,001 directions. And the writer here says, without faith, they don't understand. By faith, we understand. Family, friend, foe may resist us and renounce us. Negative, even dire consequences may come at school. You're not getting a good grade on that paper because of what you've said about creation and faith. In this science class, this is what we say. But I don't believe that. You believe it if you're in this class or your workplace or somewhere else. You find those that are opposing what you say. I just encourage you to stand firm because faith is a must. Not only to even consider creation, it's a must to really understand creation. That's what unless the writer got it wrong. Maybe we need to double check that. Did he get it wrong here? When he said, by faith we understand. So do you believe? Do you have that faith? As chapter 12, verse 2 talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and the one who did that work on the cross for sinners, who died, was buried, was risen, he rose again, he lives, and he grants faith by his Spirit. Do you have it? Do you ever hear the phrase, you can't get there from here? You can't get there in terms of understanding the way you ought to creation unless you start here. You know the game boards, they have the little spot, start here. And little Sally puts her guy over here. No, that's not where you start. I want to start there. You can't start there. You start here. And this is where you start. Point C. Faith is a must to simply explain creation. To even consider it, to clearly understand it, and then to simply explain it. Point one, to explain what was included. I want to explain creation. I want to explain what was included. The writer sums it up in verse 3. with the one word in many translations, universe or worlds. That's shorthand, the word universe. Shorthand for everything. He didn't want to list everything, cows, chickens, and mountains, and grass, and on and on and on and on and on. Everything. With just one dip in the inkwell, the writer has enough ink. He doesn't need a whole bottle full. With that one dip, he's got enough to write universe. Everything. All the worlds. He pulls everything that exists into a single term. If some will want to quibble about this, we have to say, this is our universe, included in verse 3. Study and degrees in science and other sciences are very important and good to do. And they're encouraged. But it is faith that sorts and assembles the finished ideas about the universe. By faith, we understand that the universe, which means everything in it, that's what was included. Point two, to explain who was involved. It's clear there, isn't it? I hear the reverberations of Genesis 1:1 rumbling across time and across Scripture. Can you hear it coming? Rumble, rumble. There it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and like thunder sometimes rolls across the sky, that same point rolls across to verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed, the universe was framed by the word of God. There it is. Who did it? God did it. The lyrics are the same here as in Genesis 1:1. It is the God who stands in the floodlights then and now. God's gift of faith to men turns them irresistibly back to himself. That's how it works. You see, the who position is occupied. Who did this? Well, that position, that seat's taken. The created universe is a created universe because there is a God who created it. Let all contenders listen up. Chance, step aside. Chance, over there. Fate, no, seat's taken. Let no force be with you. You hear that phrase, the force be with you. No force be with you. It's God alone. You see, we believe the Bible. It says God. It says God created the universe. What else is there to say? But, no. Point three, to explain how it was done. The book of Genesis was first on the witness stand. Moses wrote multiple times, then God said. Now the writer of Hebrews walks to the witness stand. He double underlines Moses by the word of God. That's how it was done. Well, by faith we understand that the universe was framed by the word of God. Oh, I don't know. Let's talk geology and paleontology and whatever else. Okay. I'll start here. By faith, God created. Now, what was your question? What power is released when God speaks? What power is released? God speaks and it is done. You know, this same Hebrews writer here back in chapter 4, verse 12, talking about the written words of God, explains that they're living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the power of God's words. And just so we don't get confused, chapter 11, verse 3 explains the miracle of something from nothing. Isn't that what he says? The things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Have you heard the magician statement, now you see it, now you don't? They'll turn it around. Now you don't, now you do. There it is. God said it into existence. It takes faith from God and in God to believe that. God is our creator. So faith is a must to consider it, to understand it, to explain it. Without faith, verse 6, it's impossible to please God. Come up with any other explanation that you want to, but without faith in a relationship with this God, you've missed the mark. Missed the mark. So, conclusion. Number one, this biblical faith in the conclusion supplies answers to the basic important questions about creation. Doesn't it? This biblical faith supplies answers to the basic important questions about creation. Don't be stumped. Don't be discouraged. Don't feel like a pea brain. All discussion about creation is to be built on this foundation. This sets the course. This maps the direction. This qualifies the conclusions. This biblical faith. Another starting point will only result in confusion and error. You want to build a house, you build it here, you'll end up here. You want to start over here, you're going to end up there. But you're not going to be able to switch those if you start on a different foundation. Faith is a must because God is our creator. Second point, this biblical faith comes through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You know, all of the time that we might want to spend coming up with responses and answers to the unbelievers who want to force evolution upon us, maybe more time should be spent just praying for their souls. So they come to Christ. Then they'll have the faith to consider, understand, and explain creation. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, originates and authorizes faith to men. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of you. It's the gift of God. The expanded teaching of the Bible is that this faith means trust in Jesus Christ as a Savior. So all people who want to consider, all people who want to understand, all people who want to explain creation need this Savior to get it right. It's through him that the lights of understanding are turned on. Now, I suppose they could learn the Christian position and not be saved and spout it. But that's not the same as really by faith doing it. Number three, this biblical faith can be yours. Isn't that good news? You know, Jesus said, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden about this whole discussion about creation and evolution, all that wrapped up. I can rest you in thinking about all of that. Don't be so fretful. Don't be so uptight. It's not just a must for talking about creation, this matter of faith. It's a must for talking about life and death and eternity and heaven and hell and all of those. It's a must there, too. At a funeral the other day, some of the family were so sure that the lady died, who died was so good. If anybody can get to heaven, she can get to heaven after she did this and that and the other thing. Missing the point that the very lady herself told me she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and was not confident in herself. Well, that's our cannonball into the truth that God is our creator and faith is a must. I hope that some truth splashed on your thinking. May God use the lesson for your good and his glory. We're going to have a brief prayer, and then we're going to have a song that talks about God and God alone is fit to take the throne of creation. Let's pray, then we'll have that song. Our God in heaven, thank you so much for Hebrews 11, for its clarity, its simplicity, its power. Help us, our God. We'll never believe it. We'll never continue believing it. We'll never be strong in believing it unless you help us. So, Jesus, as the author and finisher of our faith, help us to always believe in this matter of God creating. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.